back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
Now, before we get into this morning's clue, the big news in Manitoba history this week is the transfer of ownership from the Hudson's Bay Building on Portage Avenue to Indigenous hands. Now, what were your thoughts on this historic event?
Well, my first thought was, whippy, this is great news, because, of course, it's never good to see an abandoned building sitting there. That's when it really starts to deteriorate. So I'm really glad to see that it's going to have a new life. What's not yet clear is what it's going to be used for. They've talked a little bit about housing, probably some retail space. It is a very, very big building, and I would like to see at least part of it used for archival storage. You know, it sits right next door to the provincial archives, and they have a chronic space shortage there. Why not use some of the space inside this very large old building to house the assets of the provincial archives, especially since they have the Hudson's Bay Company records there? What better place than in the old Hudson's Bay Company store?
Well, hopefully they're listening, because I think that is a huge tip. Now, back to the regularly scheduled programming. Can you remind us of the clue from last week?
Well, today we're going to talk about a grave concern that I have for some abandoned sites around Manitoba.
A grave concern, you say?
Yes. Well, something that's been much in the news lately are the graves associated with former residential schools. You know, communities are trying to determine how many lost graves may exist at these sites. They're using the technology of ground-penetrating radar to find places where the soil was disturbed in the process of digging a grave. Now, I think it's very disgraceful when graves are abandoned, yet the problem is not confined to residential schools. There are other such abandoned graveyards that are at risk, hence my grave concern.
I understand now. Now, where are these abandoned graveyards located?
Well, there are many of them all over Manitoba, but they seem especially common in southern Manitoba. I think, for example, of a very visible one. There are 5 gravestones on the west side of Highway 30, about a mile north of Altona. You know, they're closely surrounded by agricultural land, and that little cemetery was established in 1890.
And why is that?
Well, I don't know the circumstances of that particular burial site, but these small cemeteries seem to be especially common in areas of Manitoba that were settled by Mennonites. I think it was a fairly common practice to bury one's deceased family members on the family farm. Well, time passes, and now some of those farms are no longer owned by the family. The new owner doesn't necessarily see the value in setting aside potentially farmable land where the graves are located.
And is agriculture the major factor threatening these cemeteries?
Well, in some cases, yes, but not in all. My friend Ernie Brown, who has done a great job at mapping the locations of many of these early burial sites east of the Red River, in what was known at one time as the Mennonite East Reserve, he says that burial sites are threatened by urban development, too. He was recently contacted about a possible gravesite in the village of New Bothwell. They're planning to use ground-penetrating radar there to determine if graves are indeed present. Ernie says there is a similar situation on a site in Steinbach, where graves are known to exist in the area south of Mackenzie Avenue, one of the city's main thoroughfares.
Wow. So do we even know the extent of the problem?
Well, of the 116 cemeteries and burial plots in the former Mennonite East Reserve, Ernie Brown says 76 of them, or 2/3, are on private property and therefore at risk. And he acknowledges that his survey may have missed some of the private ones, so the percentage at risk could be even higher.
Wow, that is a huge number.
Indeed. Well, in the rural municipality of Rhineland, the Manitoba Genealogical Society has cataloged cemeteries and burial sites there, and they list 191 of them in their database. Of these, 90 of them, or about half, are family burial sites on private land. The situation is essentially the same in the rural municipality of Stanley next door. There are 42 out of the 80 burial sites being private family ones. You know, so it's quite a widespread problem. Recently, I read a very interesting article in the Winkler Voice newspaper written by retired educator Henry Wiebe. He has family members buried in a cemetery southeast of Winkler that was completely surrounded by a cornfield. Burials there are believed to have begun in 1876. The property was sold out of the family in 1952. The new owner demolished all the buildings in the farmyard, and I think more significantly, he plowed up the road used to access the farmyard. Nevertheless, the small family cemetery was maintained by a family member until his death in 1978. Of course, that's quite a long time ago. Unfortunately, in the ensuing time, this deteriorated. When Mr. Weeb visited it in 2018, it was in what he called a state of gross neglect. So he and a cousin got busy. They cleared the site, and they were able to find grave markers of 20 people with another 11 suspected, but they didn't have any grave markers to mark them. The landowner lives outside of Manitoba and has rented the property to a local farmer who, while sympathetic to the family wish to visit and maintain their cemetery, has made clear to Mr. Weeb that nobody, but nobody, is to go there while cropping is underway.
It just seems like a really impossible situation. I mean, what can be done to address this problem?
Well, in addition to the use of ground-penetrating radar to identify grave sites, my friend Ernie suggests two courses of action. First, we need to impress on landowners where known or suspected graves may exist that they need to do something, especially if they're elderly and the land may change hands in the near term. If the grave sites are known, they should be marked conspicuously, or better yet, encircled with a perimeter fence or a barrier of some kind.
Okay, now that makes sense. So what's the second course of action?
Well, we need to ensure that young landowners who have purchased long-held family lands are alerted to the potential problem before they do real damage. You know, people like Ernie Brown, who are mapping these abandoned cemeteries, are only too happy to share their findings with municipal governments, who in turn can inform those landowners.
Well, speaking of the government, is there any action that the provincial government can take to help this?
Well, Henry Weeb, along with his wife Ada, has tried to raise awareness in provincial officials. They note that public cemeteries in Manitoba are subject to the Cemeteries Act. It prescribes that cemeteries must be surrounded by a fence 4.5 feet tall, sufficient to keep livestock out, and the cemetery must be maintained. Unfortunately, the private cemeteries are not subject to this act. The Weebs suggest that the Cemeteries Act be amended to require two things of all burial sites in the province. One, perpetual care, and two, year-round public access.
Year-round public access.
Yes, you know, the Weebs observe that many of the family burial plots were established on the inside of a quarter section, which means they're not directly accessible by a public road. Farmers who plant crops around these burial sites are reluctant to permit access when the crop is growing, and they either restrict family members from visiting the site to the early spring before the crops are planted, or the late fall after they are harvested. The result is that the site quickly becomes overgrown during the summer, and that's definitely the case in the cemetery that's being maintained by the Weebs.
So if any of our listeners feel strongly about doing something to help the cause of these unregistered cemeteries, what would you recommend they do?
Well, I think they should communicate their concerns to their local MLA or to the Honorable Reg Helwer. He's the minister responsible for the Cemeteries Act, and encourage these public officials to support amendment of the Cemeteries Act so it applies to burial sites on private land too. You know, without legal protection, these sites will eventually be gone. You know, and I think there needs to be basic respect shown to the people who preceded us, whether that means at former residential schools, whether it means on the edges of expanding cities, or in the middle of farm fields.
As usual, Gordon, this was so entertaining and very interesting, and something I didn't know about. So tell me what's up for next time.
Well, in the nearly 7 years of this abandoned Manitoba series, we have only talked once about a place outside of our province. That was the site in North Dakota of a fur trade post called Fort Dare that was very important to the survival of the early Selkirk settlers. Well, next week, we're going to talk about another site outside the provincial boundaries. This one, not quite so crucial to survival, but very popular with Manitobans today.
Thank you so much, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.